Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We've read all the books, we've bought all the courses, we've tried all the tactics, all in search of the secret to growth and scaling. So now, let's take a different path. It's not risk-free, it's not guaranteed, but when done correctly, it produces one winner after another. Today, we're going to learn how to leverage everything. My name is Josh Thomas. I'm your host. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. This podcast is brought to you by VAIQ. If you're a busy executive who's getting pulled in too many directions and wish you could get those lower-level tasks off your plate, we recruit, place, and train a virtual assistant into your business in as little as 7 days, and we'll even manage them for you on a daily basis so you can stay focused on what you do best. To learn more on how you can get your time back and save up to 70% versus hiring locally, go to vaiq.net. Once again, that's vaiq.net. Today's guest is Scott Kelly. He's the CEO of a business accelerator called Black Dog Venture Partners and the founder of VC Fast Pitch. He's been working on both sides with entrepreneurs and investors alike for more than 3 decades, harnessing his innovative skills, vast experience, training thousands of salespeople, and tapping into his vast networking of investors. Scott helps founders and investors sustain and scale innovation. Scott, welcome to the show. I have a quick question for you. What is one thing that you do better than anyone else, and how do you use that to your advantage?
Probably the best thing I do better than anyone else is I connect the dots between two different people. I'm a big believer that my business has two goals: to solve problems and create opportunities. And I can connect the dots between what somebody needs and what somebody has.
The connector, you're speaking my language because I've always tried to find when I meet somebody meaningful, the best thing that I can do to really plant my value in their head and then plant their value in mine is to say, hey, here's somebody that you should know, whether it's a business connection or not. Like, you guys have the same mustache, like you really need to meet. And it's just one of those little things that most people just don't think about. So talk to me about what are the things that you look for when you're trying to connect one dot to the other?
Well, a lot of my work is really centered around really two things. One, helping companies fund their business and helping companies scale their business. So when I look at a relationship, I ask them that question, which is the priority and what is the thing you need to do most? And what does that person look like that can help you accomplish one of those goals? And then, I'm a consummate network. I've got 13,000 plus investors in my network I've done deals with, and I got 50,000 businesses to get my newsletter. So it's I'm dating myself, but I am a big believer in the old college game called the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. So if I don't know somebody, I know somebody who knows somebody. And that's really what I try to find is that, the opportunity to solve a problem through a relationship that I've established.
Yeah, well said. I'm curious when we're connecting investors with founders. One thing that I'd love to open up, because this is a show about leverage, is injecting capital into an idea is not always the best decision. Like it's either a good idea or it's not. And more cash is just going to magnify the fact that it's a good idea or a bad idea. So, how do you choose what a good idea is that actually needs that capital injection?
That's a really good question because you're right. And the irony is, although I've raised $5 billion in my career, I tell the vast majority of entrepreneurs, probably close to 98% plus, they should go out and raise capital. They should go out and just go out and sell their product and service and grind their business. So I think when you go out in that pursuit, you have to understand a couple things. One, if you bring in a new investor, you bring in a new opinion on how to run your business, how to scale your business, and maybe even how to exit your business. So I think you really have to understand the consequences as well as the opportunities in raising capital. And then you really have to ask yourself, do you have fit with this investor? I tell entrepreneurs all the time, sometimes no investor is better than a bad investor. So, investors do due diligence on entrepreneurs all the time, but entrepreneurs have to do due diligence on the investors at the same time.
And that brings up another point. So for me, as far as businesses go, I've always bootstrapped, but for real estate, I'll raise capital, but we have limited partners, right? And limited partners can scream all they want, but like, hey, you signed the contract. I make the decisions, not you. But that's not necessarily the case in business. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not the case in business. You know, the reality is that if you take anybody's money, you have a fiduciary responsibility to spend that money correctly and not only get them a return of their money, get the return on their money. And so I think you really have to look at it from that standpoint. And from an investor standpoint, especially when we're talking venture capital and technology companies, you're dealing with insurmountable odds. You know, 90% of entrepreneurs fail. 75% of entrepreneurs that raise venture capital fail. So we're dealing in a high risk business. And so you need to make sure from the beginning and ongoing that you're doing everything you can to mitigate the risk while you're trying to maximize the return.
Is there a line or a threshold of, you really need to raise capital for this business versus, look, just go out there and hustle and make some sales?
I tell people the best capital you get is the non-dilutive capital of selling something. And I think the reality is, I've been doing this for, as you mentioned, for a few decades now. And, I'm old school. I sell. That's all I do every day. And I think that's become a lost art. And I think the reality is, in this day and age of the internet and social media and AI, the ability to build the relationship with humans and get those same humans to give you money for your product or service is something that's become more of an acquired taste where it should be a necessity.
Why do you think that is?
I think honestly, I think obviously the technology can be a great tool or it could be a hindrance. I tell everybody, a hammer is great when it's hammering a nail. It's not too great when it's hammering your thumb. You got to be able to use those tools effectively.
Yeah, indeed. And so, what have you seen, and just kind of looking back into your portfolio and the different clients that you've worked with? What have you seen have been the markers if somebody's got a startup and they do need some capital, they need that injection? What are some of the things that they can do to make their business look more attractive to a potential investor so they can get that funding?
Well, I think it comes down to, you mentioned real estate. Real estate is location, location, location. When you're trying to raise angel venture capital, it's traction, traction, traction. You need to create that momentum without the capital, and then tell the story of how you can create more momentum with that capital. So I think entrepreneurs all the time are trying to wait until they get capital. The ones that are successful are still moving forward while they're trying to access capital. And I think that's really one of the key indicators of a successful entrepreneur, especially entrepreneurs that want to raise capital. Investors, that there's a lot of great ideas. It comes down to execution. And if you can execute with little or no capital, the likelihood you can execute with more capital is increased.
Makes sense. And so has there ever been like digging back through your inventory here, what would you say is one of the wildest situations? Like, there's no way this business is going to succeed, and then it just, like, against all odds, it just blew up,
You know,
or the
it's,
opposite.
yeah, I've had a couple. I mean, the reality is I built my career during the dot-com boom of the 90s. And, I had a few exes of my own during that time. And, quite frankly, you put dot-com on a light bulb and make money. And so we had ridiculous cases where we had domain names, just domain names, not even a business, like business.coms sell for $7.5 million at the peak of the market back then. But then on the reverse, you had some great explosions. We were, unfortunately, investors in companies like pets.com, where it was a great idea, but it was a decade and a half too early. They went through $1 billion and the only thing remaining was a sock puppet. They just didn't really have a viable idea with the right timing. And so, we've had a lot of those stories, both on the high end and the low end.
It's interesting about the timing, because you think about some of the things that failed 10 years ago. What would they look like now if they were to emerge now? Or they've probably kind of like come back and rebirthed themselves like the Phoenix or something, and now they're appropriate. But can you think of some examples of maybe some businesses that might have been ahead of their time, like pets.com, for example?
Well, pets.com was, ironically enough, it was ahead of their time in terms of idea, but the market wasn't ready for it. The equivalent now is Chewy, which is, a very successful company in the pet product business. Obviously, there's legendary stories. There's stories like, Jeff Bezos. He before he did everything he did with Amazon, he just sold books. And that's the one thing I tell a lot of entrepreneurs. If you want to build something, a lot of things great, build one thing great first. And he really was all in on books. He had more books in inventory than the history of every library or bookstore and the history of man before he launched into everything else. So he was ahead of his time. There was an article written about him many years ago where he got lambasted for spending $1 billion for storage, data storage. And now AWS is probably the most profitable aspect of his entire business. It was vastly ahead of their time.
That's what makes them pop the profitable, right?
And you've got countless stories about that. I think technology is the one thing about technology. It allows to it does take every idea and make it great, but it makes great ideas better.
It's as you were talking about that, I was reminded I think this was about 15 years ago. A good friend of mine had lost her job, like a good paying corporate job, and was looking for work. And so she goes and gets a job at this company called Eat Out In. And Eat Out In was basically food delivery from anywhere. And you call like on the phone, Eat Out In, and say, oh yeah, I want some lasagna from Carrabba's or whatever. And then somebody would like go over there and place the order and wait for the food and then bring it to you. And it was like, oh, that's kind of cool, And now you got Uber Eats and DoorDash and Fiverr, and it's all app-based, and nobody talks to anybody, and they don't even knock on your door anymore. They just leave it at the porch in all the cobwebs in the corner. But it was like that was so ahead of its time, and then all the big companies catch on, and it becomes ubiquitous. And it's fascinating to me how, there's always somebody with that idea. What do you see as the thing right now that's kind of like weird on the fringes, but in maybe 5 years it's going to be mainstream?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of talk about AI, and that's obviously all over the news. And it's been around for a while. It hasn't been around just for the last couple of years. I think what's happening now is that businesses or industries like construction and other large, old, manual industries are now using things like AI to really accelerate the process. We have a portfolio company that is taking the takeoff estimations and created and generated through AI and created those estimates in literally minutes versus days and weeks. And so I think there's a lot of interesting trends in prop tech, real estate tech, and construction tech. And then even in healthcare, the ability to cure diseases by better and more efficient ways to produce drugs. We have a VC that we work with. They are actually in space creating drugs because the elements of testing drugs are better in space and faster in space than you are here in on Earth. And so there's a lot of fascinating things happening with technology.
I saw some. Speaking of, I saw an article about scientists have been able to use some sort of I can't remember the name of the machine, but they're able to target the DNA code of the HIV virus and eradicate it from cells. Just wild sci-fi stuff that you couldn't even imagine, like even 5 years ago. It's just the craziest stuff. Maybe they're doing that in space too. I don't know.
Well, the great thing about space is that people they learn that people aged a little bit faster in space when they travel. And so what they did is now they can say, okay, we can find out the effects of a drug or treatment faster because the
Yeah.
time is
Just
happening
go
faster.
wait it out in space. It's fine.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about what you do now, who you serve, and how we can connect with them.
Sure. A lot of my work is, as I mentioned, we're a business accelerator. So we help primarily technology and consumer product companies fund, scale, and exit their business. So, we use, my years of experience and relationships to prepare them to present to investors from creating their pitch deck to their deal room, put them in front of our network investors through our VC fast pitch and individual calls we set up. And then we help them build their team, scale their business, help them go to market. And then when the time is right, we help them find a way to exit their company.
Okay, excellent. And so, where can we go to learn more and connect about that?
Sure. You can learn more about my firm at blackdogventurepartners.com. You'll learn about our pitch events at vcfastpitch.com. And you can find me on all social media channels at Black Dog CEO.
Very good. Hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Scott Kelly, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he leverages everything. For those of you who want to connect directly, you can learn more by going to blackdogventurepartners.com. And once again, if you're a busy entrepreneur who needs to get out of the weeds, we'll place a professional virtual assistant in as little as 7 days. You can learn more by going to vaiq.net. Until next time, remember this: if you want to win, you got to push your chips in. It's time to leverage everything.